This is Victory House.
I'm going to talk about what I call do it yourself. Look at your neighbor, say do it yourself. Say DIY. DIY. If you recently moved from another country to the United States, one of the things that you will soon find out is that this is a DIY country. I mean, you do it yourself. So some people, I was having this conversation the other day. Somebody was angry. I said, I can't move to the United States. I can't be washing my own plates. Oh, sorry. Where you will wash your own plate, amen? Because if you want somebody to be washing your plate for you and not your family member, like paid somebody to watch your for washing your plate, you are going to be paying the person like somebody that is going to a regular job. Because that person has to pay bills, and his bills are almost similar to yours. So it's a DIY country. And I believe God wants your life to also be a DIY life. Let's open our Bibles to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. And we will read, let me start from verse 10. We're actually going to 11, but just for context, start from 10. Acts 17 from verse 10. The Bible says, as soon as it was night, the believers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. On arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Now, the Berean Jews were more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with eagerness, excitement, and examine the scripture every day to see if what Paul said was true. They were noble because they examined the scriptures every day. Then move to Acts chapter, Second Corinthians chapter 13. Second Corinthians 13 and verse 14. This is that scripture that people will say, let us share the grace. And then they share these scriptures. Every scripture is the grace. Amen? You can say any word of God and it's still the grace. If you've noticed in Victory House, we usually don't close service by reading this scripture. And sometimes we will read it. But some other time, somebody will just say this after me. And he's saying something that is derived from the word of God, because the whole Bible is the grace. Amen? So when people say the grace, I don't know how they coined it, but I don't know. Maybe because there's grace in the scripture. But you don't have to end a service with saying this. There's no, they didn't even end services like that, even in the Bible. So, because they didn't even have this as their Bible, you know that. But that's another discussion. The Bible says here, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with y'all. I thought people would say amen. I think that person is an African-American. Say you all. But the Bible says the grace of God be with you. The love of God and the fellowship of the Spirit will be with you all. Do it yourself. If you look at the scriptures and if you follow the patterns of the scripture, you would notice a particular pattern there. You will see God manifest himself and show himself in different ways throughout the history of man and even throughout the scripture. One of the ways we see God in the scripture is that sometimes God will show himself as the God for us. The God for us. The God that does things for us. The God that steps in the place. He makes things to happen for us. He does things that we're supposed to do, he does it for us. That is how we first saw God. That is how God first introduced himself in scripture. He was the God that was doing things for us. He was fixing things. He was the God that was cleaning up the mess for Israel, for example. He was that God for them. That was God the Father. You saw God the Father show up himself as the God for us. And I'm telling you that God is still for you. Can somebody say a bigger amen? So the Bible says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, it says, God, if God be for you, Why is it important that if God is for you? Because you see, in life, I believe there are several ways people are living their lives. I believe that people, whenever you meet them, there are several ways that they have patterned their life, whether they planned it like that or not. One way you can see people living their life is that they are living their life by accident. You meet some people, everything in their life, there is no order, there is no plan, is by accident. What happens, you know, by accident. They are the qui sera sera people. You know that word, qui sera sera. There's a song like that. I think I heard that song yesterday. Where did I hear it? They were just playing it. I think I was watching a movie. Okay, yeah, I was watching some movie. Yes, pastor watched a movie. Amen. Can somebody say amen to that? It's spiritual. It's okay. I was going to say spiritual, but it's okay to watch movies. Amen. So there's that word, qui sera sera. Qui sera sera means what will be. Accidents, just happenings. You know, they are the people that let life happen to them. It just happens to them. They are some of the people, one of the key words in their life will be serendipity. And the word serendipity just simply means suddenly, you know, surprise. You know, that's what it means. There is nothing wrong in expecting surprises from God. It is good. But you see, to now live your life based on that chaos and just surprise, even God didn't form this world like that. And many children of God, that's how we are living our lives. We are just living, and the song we say, God of miracles is my father. And what you mean by that is that God just cleans up my mess. Whether I do the right thing or not, whether I follow process or not, God just cleans it up. So there are people that are living their life by accident. Ask your neighbor, say, how are you living your life? Say, don't live your life by accident. So there are guys, you just find them, it's by accident. Everything that is happening to them, accident. If the accident is positive, it's good. But if you have built your life like that, you'll find out that there is not going to be only positive things that will be happening. There will be some things that won't be quite positive. So God is asking you and I this morning that how are you patterning your life? You remember that when God first showed up in Genesis chapter 1, the first thing he addressed was the chaos, was the accident. Because the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, it says darkness was upon the face of the deep. There was chaos. There was accident. And the first word God said was to fix the accident. He says, let there be light. You see, with that light that God brought order. God brought order. So God said, let there be order. He brought something that makes every other thing to work. The reason why many lives are not working is because it's out of order. You are putting the first things, you are doing the last things at the first time. If you do a right thing at the wrong time, it will become a wrong thing too. So let's not build our lives by accident. So there are people that live their lives by accident. There's another set of people, they live their life by automatic, on autopilot. Auto, you know, the word auto means, if you have a car here, you know what auto means, right? You know, I met somebody, okay, let me not use that example because the person is here. But some people use their life on automatic. Just put a few orders there and then you just leave it. They don't check it back. Is it working? Should we tweak it? Should we make it better? I know some of the guys that work with us, sometimes they will probably be mad at me because it's almost as if when we do something good, I'm like, let's do it better. Because if you live life to automatic, after a while, even the life that seems to have order will now look like a life of accident. God, yes, God wants you to have process. God wants you to have order. But don't just leave that order to default. To default. Most people that live their life to default becomes deformed after a while. You can't live your life to automatic. You can't live it. It will happen if it will happen. No, you cannot. There are many times people are having issues in their life and they don't take it. They are not intentional. They are not purposeful. They are not like, God, you have to do something about it. They just leave it on automatic. It will happen at the right time. Because that kind of statement may sound spiritual, but it's not spiritual. You are living, you are not taking responsibility. You are not taking responsibility. God does not want us to live our life by default. He wants us to live it by design. If you were at the Sunday school this morning, they were talking about vision, right? And that the vision is for an appointed time and that you should wait for it. That is design. That is having a purpose. You are not living it by default. You are not living it by everything that comes normal. There are people in this room, they will do only the things that come normally. They won't do the things that are by design. You will do a job that comes normal. You will live in a neighborhood that comes normal. Because can I tell you the truth? There are many things that God asks for you, it will not come normal. Some people will say, well, if God wants it for me, then I should have it. Ah, newsflash. Welcome to reality. There are many things God will ask for you, but you have to take it by force. You have to take it by violence. There are many things God has in your future, but when you come to it, it does not look like it. You have to take it by force. Jesus himself said it. Matthew chapter 11, verse 12. He says, the kingdom of God has been advancing by violence. Or, in another way, the kingdom of God had been advancing by design, not by default. People have intentionally advanced it. Intentionally pushed it. Some people will say, well, God is God. Whatever God wants to do, he will do. No. Everything that happens on earth is not only what God wants to happen. There are many things God wants to happen that are not happening. That's why when they met Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, they asked Jesus, teach us how to pray. He told them, you see our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Then when he was going to end the prayer, somewhere in the prayer, he told them, ask God that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why will you be asking God that his will be done on earth if his will is done on earth? It's because it's not done on earth. You know, we don't pray that God's will be done in heaven because it's done in heaven. But here on earth, the will of God is not done here by default. You have to make it happen. You have to make it happen. There are some people, when it comes to celebrating God, they think that it will just happen. No. You make it happen. Many, many times when it comes to appreciating God, celebrating, you are conscious about it. Because sometimes you may not feel like it. Sometimes your body doesn't feel like waking up. Oh, yeah, this morning I didn't feel like waking up. My wife said, your alarm has rang. I said, that's true. He said, did you want to wake up early? I said, yes, but I didn't wake up early. Because sometimes our body, everything around us will not want us to do something, but we still have to do it. By what? Not by automatic, not by default, but by design, by purpose. I want you to hold the hand of the person next to you. You are going to say, in the name of Jesus, I break the hold of normal over your life. I break the hold of default over your life. And I speak design. I speak purpose. I speak intentional of God into your life in the name of Jesus. So there are people living their life, accident is mistake, everything. There are some people living their life, automatic. They vans off. The car is driving by itself. They are like absentee landlord. They are not part of their life. Life is just happening the way it wants to happen. And there are a final set of people that I just want to talk about before I move on, who live their lives by approval of others. Approval of others. What people say is what they will do. How people say it is what they will do. What they see others doing is what they will do. When they check others, that's what they will write. You know, I teach. And sometimes I have noticed that people that sit near themselves in class, they turn in the same assignment. So if this guy is going to fail, this other, in fact, there are sometimes when I look at the grade of the first person, I'm almost going to take that grade and give the other because you have failed like him. You have looked at the same script. And if you were in the Sunday school today, the man of God was saying that, look, we don't have the same script. We don't have the same script. We don't have the same script. We may be coming to the same church. We may be bearing the same name. We may have the same last name. But I have a different script. So my life is not your life. I am not working on your own script. I don't know where in the stage of the things of God for your life you are now. But I am in the stage where God wants me to be. And I will focus on my own. There are many people. They want to do what everybody is doing. What are they doing out there now? What is raining? What is raining? If there's a cheap way to finish yourself, just watch what others are doing and do it. Can I tell you this? Life is not lived on popular opinions. Popular opinion can be wrong. Popular opinion has been wrong. The last election, popular opinion was wrong. I don't care where you stand. You may not like the politics of our president. You may not like his rhetoric. You may not like so many other things about him. But he's the president. And it was not by popular opinion. They called them the silent minority. So there are sometimes the report that wins is not the majority. It's the minority report. And that's why don't try to fashion your life. Don't try to do your life by approval of others. What will they say? What will they tell me? What? You know, when I started preaching, one of the things, I went to Bible school. I didn't say more than that. I went. And maybe I'm still supposed to be going. And I noticed that sometimes when I wanted to preach, I would start from a scripture. Then I'll go and consult commentary, read, and then I will get to the middle and I'll be confused. Because I have read about everybody's opinion and I don't even have an opinion again. I am confused. So I start from somewhere and then I go to check everybody. After a while, I said, this thing is not working. I think I need to hear from God clearly and put down what I have heard and then check what other people are saying. Maybe they said it better. And then maybe I can incorporate it. And I found out that was better. Because then the confusion was reduced. There are many people, can I tell you this? You are looking at the wrong script. You are looking at the wrong people. You are looking at their script and you are not writing the same exam. You are not writing the same script. You are not, if you pass at their own exam, you have still failed at your own exam. Because you have another script. God has called you to something else. So don't look for the approval of other people. Don't let them tell you that you are doing well. Don't let them say that you did it right. No. The approval may be a disapproval. The fact that they say you did it well does not mean that you have done well. Sometimes some people say he's doing well for himself. By what category? By what criteria? How did you know? Did you see the script? If you see me here this morning, you don't know if I'm doing well or not. The person that can say if I'm doing well is the one that designed me originally. And maybe this morning, all he has come to tell me to say is just to say all the things I have said. And if I say that, I have passed. So I don't have to live my life by the approval of others. I don't have to live my life by accident. I don't have to live my life to automatic. But I can now do something about my life. I can live my life in such a way that the God who designed it will be pleased with it. Because can I tell you this? In life, you don't need a lot of votes. You don't need a lot of votes to win. You don't even need the vote of your parents. I know the word of God says, honor your father and your mother, that it may be well with you. But sometimes your parents may not sign for you. 1 Samuel chapter 17. The Bible talked about Samuel. Samuel showed up in David's house, and Samuel was on an assignment by God. God had told Samuel, go and anoint the king. And when Samuel showed up there, he told the father the intention. I said, bring your children. The father brought all the children. Do you know that the father forgot David? He had forgotten that he had a child. Do you know that's a big deal? I mean, those days, those people used to marry and give birth to a lot of children, but he didn't have too many children. I think it was like 7. So how can you forget one? If the anointing that David needed was based on human selection, he wouldn't have gotten it. Because the father that was supposed to recommend him, the father that was going to put his name for promotion, the father had forgotten him. And that's why I know you should do things to please your boss. I know you should do things to please people that are ahead of you. But can I tell you this? Promotion does not come from the east nor from the west. It comes from God. God is the judge. So it is possible for your boss to say no and God say yes, and yes will still carry the day. Can I get an amen to that? It is possible for your father to say no. There are many people listening to me this morning. Your father has said no. Your mother has said no. They have said things like, out of all my children, you are not the one. Some of them would suggest things like, I know if it's your brother, you would have done better. So you have been living your life in competition. You have been trying to prove a point. Can I tell you this? You don't have to prove a point. Just pattern it according to the design of heaven. And because God says yes, yes will carry the day. It doesn't matter if a teacher has told you no. There are people, teachers will look at them and as if they are God. And that's sometimes why I don't like all these exam placement and people who just use their mouth to talk as if they are God. You know, they'll say things. You go to the hospital, the doctor will look at your child and then they all say things. And I'm like, excuse me, you're not God. I remember when we had our second son, they felt he was delayed in speaking. And I'm like, delayed? If we speak when it's the right time. Every child that comes in this, they have speaking in their agenda. Amen. I mean, I've been telling God, my children too will serve you. Amen. That's what the people ahead of me did for me because I wanted to be coding. I wanted to be doing computer stuff. And I think some people have been saying, God, our son will serve the Lord. So that's why I'm holding mic today. So I have been doing that for them too. So when they told me that the boy will not speak, I'm like, leave this boy alone. They said they would do speech. I remember there was a time I took him to one hospital and they had speaker, they had all kind of stuff and they were saying this. They said, do you hear that sound? And I'm like, this boy is, I wanted to tell the lady that, excuse me, this boy is okay. Just don't disturb yourself. But do you know there are many people that will take that decision and then they will turn you to the life of that boy? There are many parents that take stuff like that and say, that's who you are. A teacher will say, you don't know maths. Who are you to say I don't know maths? Because I failed the test does not mean anything. I might have even failed the class. I might have even repeated, but it does not mean anything. It may just mean I need to look at it the second time. We learn differently. There are some people that will look at it once and they will say they have photographic memory. Yeah, I may need to look at it 10 times, but I will still get it. It may be slow, but I will get it. It may not come the way it came to you, but it will also come to me too. Is there anybody like me like that this morning? Can you say a big amen? So there's life lived by accident. There's life lived by automatic. There's life lived by approval. But the approval we need is from God. Because Romans 8 verse 28 says, if God be for you. So there is God for us. And it's his approval we need. There are two votes you need in life. God and yours. That's it. And can I announce to you this morning, God has already voted for you. Is waiting for your own vote. Will you cast your vote for yourself this morning? Will somebody cast his vote for himself this morning? So there is God for us. God for us. God voting in our favor. God concerned about us. God is mindful of you. It doesn't matter how things may look now. God is thinking about you. God is concerned for you. You fill up his mind. That's what Psalm 8 was saying. He said, what is mine that thou art mindful of him? The son of man, that you visit him. Why are you so preoccupied with man? God is thinking about you. He has not left you. God is on your side. God is in your corner. And you will not fail. In the name of Jesus. So there's God for us. We see that through scriptures. Then we also see God again in another dimension when it is God with us. Matthew 1 verse 23. The Bible says, the virgin shall conceive a child, and you shall call his name God with us. That's God alongside of you. People will evidently see him. He's standing by your side. Alongside of you is with you. God is God with us. That was what was happening in the days Jesus was here on earth. It was God with us. It was God in the flesh with us, helping us as we move along life. God with us. And I'm declaring that as you go to work tomorrow, you will experience God with us in the name of Jesus. But can I tell you, there's a deeper dimension and the biggest dimension of the relationship that God wants us to have with him. It is not just God for us doing stuff on our behalf. We're not there. It is not just God with us doing things with us while we are there. But it is God in us. God in us. God in us. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16. 2 Corinthians 6:16. It says, what agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them I will walk among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. God with us. I want you to touch your chest. Say, I carry God. Ah, that's a big statement. I carry God. Sometimes when you get into places that you can't carry any other thing, there's God already on the inside of you. You can let him loose. If you have the consciousness in your walk around life that there is something inside of you, that greater is he that is on the inside of me than he that is in the world, you'll be a champion. I see you winning this week in the name of Jesus. So God in us. And why is it that God wants to be in us? Is because God understands that the best that he wants for us will have to happen in such a way that it will look like we were the ones that did it. You know, I mean, sometimes people like to come to church. They like to see some spectacular things. They like to see some, you know, things that they've not seen before. But the regular ways of God is to make supernatural things normal. Is to make things, you will think you are just doing a normal thing. You will just think you are taking a step. You will just think that you are making a call. You will just think that you are writing a letter. But you will not know that you are knocking on destiny. You will not know that you are doing something that is positioning you for the next. Have you looked at the story of Joseph before? Joseph woke up one ordinary morning. In the usual characteristic way of Joseph, when he sees people and he will be concerned about them and he will be caring for them, he saw these guys and he said, why are you looking funny today? He did not know that he was knocking on destiny. He did not know that it was not only going, that discussion was not going, only going to help those people or give closure to whatever their issue was. It was going to save Egypt as a nation. It was going to save a new nation that will come to Egypt called Israel. That singular conversation, that's how God wants it to be. He wants it to be natural. He wants it to be normal. He wants these things to happen easily. But many, many times it is not happening because many people have left their relationship to be only God for us and God with us. They've not allowed God in us to happen. And why that has not happened is because many of us are not doing it ourselves. So we come to church. Pastor preaches to you. Pastor say, pray. That's for you. That's with you. But in you will mean that you will go home and do something about it. Somebody said this, trying to define education, and I think that perfectly defines education. He says, education is what prepares us to learn. You know, many people think that when you go to school, you go to school to learn. No. Most people don't learn in school. You don't notice that? No. It just gives you capacity to now really, really learn. To now go, because many of, I mean, and I hope education will soon change and we'll leave the model we are now, because we're overly going towards one model where people just read books to you, read. People will cram and they will pour out the knowledge. Before, education used to be people, I want to know how to be a doctor. I found a doctor and I start serving under him. That's how people used to learn before. Jesus, the Bible calls him a carpenter. Jesus never had in street formal training called carpentry. But it was training by association. That was the training. And because our training system now has been just book, and many of the time there's very little practical. I know in this nation there's some level of practical to the training, you know. So many times it is when you leave school that you learn. Or when you get home and you do your own work that you learn. Most people learn by homework, not classwork. Can I say that this morning? The reason why some people are not growing as children of God, why they are not becoming the fullness of God, it's not because there's no classwork or church work. It's because there's no homework. They are not doing it themselves. DIY. When Jesus was here on earth, he would do things for the disciples. He would do things with the disciples. But Jesus knew that the future of the church does not rely on that. It relies on the disciple, knowing that God is on the inside of them, they now going into the world and doing things by themselves. DIY. So this morning, I'm asking you, that you should not only receive the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, you should not only receive the love of God, but there is something called the fellowship of the Spirit. Or what you do at home, what you do when nobody is looking at you. Can I say this to you? Every public performance has its root or success on private practice. If you want to have good public manifestations, then there has to be good private preparations. That's it. You cannot circumvent it. Many, many times when Jesus came into the public, his prayers were short. Very short. Say something, be healed. Let your eyes go open. You may be tempted to think that Jesus didn't spend time to pray. But no. Because the Bible makes us, Mark chapter 1 verse 35, for example, says, a great while before day, he went to pray. A great while before day, he was doing some private things that when he shows up in public, he didn't need to do too many things. He was doing it himself. He was maintaining what we call a DIY. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 37 and verse 31, the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall again take root downward and bear fruit upward. The reason why there are many people that are not bearing fruits and there are no results is because there are no roots. To grow up, you first need to go down. You need to go deep. To go deep, you need to do it yourselves. I've met people before. They'll say something like this. That church, I don't like the church. I'm not receiving the word. And the word is not blessing me. Do you know why it's not blessing you? Because you are not doing homework at all. You don't need a lot of word to bless you. A sentence is enough. A word is enough. A word. A word. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 17. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 7. He said, God sent a word to Jacob. One word to one human being. He said that word bounced around the whole nation. One word to one person. It affected the whole nation. So you don't need a lot of word. No, just one word. Boom. It can set you up. How will it happen? Because you're already ready. You are ready. You are ready. If you've used a toaster or any of these hot plates kind of thing, you notice that if you have turned on the toaster where you put bread and then you heat it up and make it toast and whatever, if it's already heated and you throw in your bread in there, it won't take time before your bread is ready for you to eat because it's already on fire itself. If you come to church service on fire, it won't be ready. It won't be long before you catch fire. The reason why it takes a lot of coaxing, let us shout, let us this, let us that, is because you have been cold like cooler. You have not done your own homework. You left everything there on Sunday. Monday to Saturday, you were absent. God is not a magician. Most times people leave everything Monday to Saturday. Then they now come on Sunday. God, do it, do it, do it, do it, do it. God's like, relax. Don't put pressure on me. What's all that? Where were you Monday to Saturday? We didn't see you. We didn't hear you. You were not anywhere. Now you are coming to me. No. That's why the Bible says the fellowship of the Spirit. Fellowship takes time. Fellowship is communion. Communion takes time. It takes time. It takes time. It's what you do in the private. It's what you do when nobody's looking at you. Communion is having communication with God. And that's what is your own responsibility. We can preach from here. We can sing from here. We can pray over you. But if you don't do something about it, nothing will happen. I've told you this story before. Two guys, they went to meet somebody to tell them the future. The guy told them about the future. He looked at one of them and said, you are not going to succeed. I've seen the future. You won't succeed. And then the other guy said, look, I've seen the future. Go and rejoice. Man, what I see. Ha. Beautiful future. Two of them left the guy. The one they told that was going to succeed, he went to relax. After all, I am acting millionaire, the youngest billionaire, and they call themselves all kinds of names, and they went to sit down. The guy they told that was not going to be successful, you know what he said? He said, at least I will try. I'll give it a shot. I'll do something about it. And he went to do his own homework. Several years down the line, the one that was not supposed to be successful was successful. The one that was supposed to be successful was a failure. Why? Do it yourself. Do it yourself. They went to do something about it. And there's two areas I want to challenge you to do something about as you go about your day and you go about your month. The first area is hearing God. Hearing God. Do something about it. Do something. You have to do it for yourself. Yes, when you come to church, you will hear God. Yes. But you need to hear God outside of church. It makes a lot of difference. If you have been hearing God before you came to church, you will understand his vocabulary. Remember when God first spoke to Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 3. The Bible said Samuel thought it was Eli that was calling him. There are many people God has been telling them things. They think it's their boss disturbing them. Some people just say, that thing told me. It's God. He's trying to get your attention. The reason you have not been hearing is you are too busy. And you don't need much in life. One word can change your life. One word. So, focus on hearing God. Read his word. The more you read the word of God, the more easy it is for you to hear him. Because now you now know his vocabulary. Read his word. Play the Bible. Do it. Some people say, I don't have the time. Pastor, you don't understand. You need to know my week. You need to know how busy I am. I have this many kids. This one, when I wake up in the morning, before I open my eyes, it's night. I know. Once you open your eyes, press play on your Bible. Before Facebook, people have been saying, I don't have time. Sometimes you said you don't have time. But did you eat? Huh? Somebody said no, they didn't eat. Did you go to work? Yes. You ate. You took your bath. You have time for what you want to have time for. Have time for this word of God too. Put it there. You can listen to the Bible this morning. Just 10 chapters easily, you will listen to it. In the days of smartphones, play it. Hear the word. And now we even have podcasts. Listen to it again. I listen to the message of this church again and again. And sometimes I'm the one that preached it. The ones that I don't preach, I listen to it. The ones that others preach, the ones that I preach, I listen to it. I also listen to other ones that are outside, and it's not listening so that I can preach. In fact, this morning I was listening to, I started from 1 Corinthians, got into 2 Corinthians. It was not about preaching. No. Because it helps you. When you hear the word of God, faith can come. Faith can be built. You can be ready to receive. You have to do that one yourself. I can't hear the word of God for you. No, I can't. I can say it here now, but how many minutes are we going to spend here? Some people are already getting uncomfortable. Let's go. You have been here for how many minutes? Excuse me. Some people say, the service was long today. How long was it? It was not long. It's just a little longer than your break. Huh? So, or your commute to work. Some people, you drive to work farther than this, and you sit down. So what's the problem? Tell your neighbor, say, relax. So you need to do it yourself. And one big area is hearing the word of God. Hear it in every form. Hear it in Bible. Hear it by somebody saying it. All kinds of ways. Hear the word of God. There is something about the person that hears. And after a while, it becomes your default. It becomes your normal. And I see the word of God happening to you. In the name of Jesus. So, hearing. And then another area you can improve your communion with God is speaking. Speaking in prayer, in confession. We've been talking about confession. Beautiful series on Wednesdays. If you've not heard any one of them, go online. Beautiful. It's faith. If you type faith on our website, confession. I don't know. Or let it loose. Let it loose. I think that's what we've been calling it. Beautiful word. Say the word of God back to God. Personalizing the word of God. Letting the word of God flow through you. Those are ways that you can have this communication and communion with God. Because there is something about communion with God. It allows you to partake in what God has for you. Because though God is in us, if we don't take time to allow the God in us to find expression, it will be dormant. And the Bible says in Daniel chapter 11 and verse 32, they that know their God, they shall be strong and they will do exploit. Why are we not doing exploits? We don't know our God. We know about our God. Yes, people can know about a thing, but you don't know them. There's something different from knowing about a thing and knowing that thing. To know a thing requires intimacy. It requires communion. It requires time. It requires you to spend time. You cannot know anybody if you don't spend time with them. There are some of you that know about me in this place. You've heard me speak before, but you don't know me. You don't know me. But my wife can say she knows me because she spent time with me. She knows if I say something, she knows what I did not say. Same with her. If she says something, I know what she has not said. Because words, communication is beyond words. There are non-verbal communications. And how do you know all of that? You know it by spending time. So this morning, I want to challenge you. You need to do these things yourself. Because if you don't want your life to be lived on accident, if you don't want your life to be by automatic, if you don't want your life to be by just the script of other people, you need to take your life by yourself and do your own homework and sit with God. Because God is not a joke. He's not fake. God is not just we are reading something on the pages of scripture. I was watching something yesterday and somebody said something that seriously offended me. He said, you know that person, she believes that angels are real when it's not as if she's reading fairy tales. And I'm like, yes, angels are real. Some people might not have experienced them, but the angels are real. I have experienced angels before. I have experienced deliverance that this is not normal. And you think you saw a human being, but no, that was not a human being. It was an angel of God that saved you. Look at your neighbor, say, do it yourself. I want you to bow down your head tonight, this morning. Maybe we are supposed to be here tonight. I want you to bow down your head this morning and say, God, I receive grace to do it myself in the name of Jesus. I receive grace to spend time in the Word. I receive grace on my prayer altar. I receive grace in the name of the Lord. I want to be better than this. I don't want to live my life by accident. I don't want to live my life to automatic. I don't want to live my life to the approval of other people. But I want to live my life, oh, just on that premise of God for us, God with us, and God in us. In the name of Jesus. If you are here this morning, you want to say, my relationship with God is not good. We are not on talking terms. I don't even understand this whole God thing. I'm just trying to make a sense of it. I want to pray with you. If you're in this room, you're in that category, you want help from God. You want to take your relationship with God to a new level. So can I pray with you this morning? If you raise your hands, if I see your hands up, I will pray with you. And you will see the hand of God. You will see God showing up for you in a different way. Somebody may be here. You say, well, I prayed that prayer before, but things have gone south. I need to renew my walk with God. I want to pray with you also this morning. If I see your hands, I will pray with you in that regard. You want to renew your relationship with God. You want things to be better with you and God. I want to pray with you. The rest of us keep praying and saying, God, I receive help to do it differently. I receive help to do my own homework in the name of Jesus. And I ask that your name be glorified. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying.